if I can restrain from preaching on it. Yeah, well, you know, we'll do it in the Amplified. It's hard not to just say it and not get into it. But, okay, so I had a tough time knowing what to do today. But anyway, God's got it. So verse 16, and we're just praying this. And remember, you can pray it for anyone, yourself, anyone, yeah, for the whatever. You know, I just want to say this too. It's the time we're coming in and revival coming and revival is here. Let's just put it that way. Revival is here, period. People are being affected. And we need to really watch our words. I mean, we've always needed to watch our words. But like you've never done before, make yourself go to a higher level. You know, and every day, and I'm not whistling Dixie here, but every single day, say who you are in Christ. So you're built up and you know. And I mean, and healing in our bodies, that's so important. We've got a job to do and we've got a job to help God finish on this earth. And he's turned his authority over to you. And you know what? He's up there and he gave it to us and we need to do it. And we need to go forward as never before. And you know, I mean, what is going on in the nation for one thing? So, Father, we do not cease to give thanks for all of these people and for all of our loved ones, making mention of them in our prayers. For we always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's the Father of glory, that he would grant to us a spirit of wisdom. So you need wisdom. And revelation of the insight, and that's what revelation is, insight into the mysteries and secrets and the deep and intimate knowledge of him. And you've got, you know, people get say the words, but you've got to come to know him. Know him like a husband and wife know each other. By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light. Light be. So that you can know. That's why you need to be flooded with light. So that you can know and understand the hope, which is a great inheritance, to which he has called us, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable. You can't even measure it. It's unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power. And it's in us and it's for us who believe. It's in you. That power is in you. And we want to trigger it and to make it active. As demonstrated, I'm just going to keep saying this, though. He, in us who believe, but he demonstrated it when in the working of his mighty strength, when he raised Jesus out of hell, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and that same power is in us. Yeah. And, you know, it says in Romans 8 that it will quicken 8:11, that it will quicken, it'll make alive your mortal body, that same resurrection power. It can go to your kidneys, it can go to your lungs, it can go to your digestive system, it can go to areas of your body because it's in you, because you're born again. And see, those are things that we would need to know who we are in Christ. He did a great and mighty work for us. And then he raised him from the dead, and that power's in us. And he seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, the highest place of authority in the universe. And it says in Ephesians 2:6 that we're seated there with him. So you've got authority. You've got dominion. Far above all the demons, all the rule and authority and power and dominion in every single name that's named. Names of sicknesses and diseases. Names of lack, depression, oppression, whatever it is, whatever is negative. every name that's named, above every title, above every ruler. We're seated in that highest place, not only in this age and in this world, but in the age and world that are to come. And he has put all things under Jesus' feet and appointed Jesus the universal and supreme head of the church. There's a universal church out there and it's made up of born-again people. A headship exercised throughout the church, which is his body. We are the body of Christ. The fullness of him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of him. When we all get together, when we all are in unison, in unity, you know what? That's the fullness of Christ who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything everywhere complete. And let's look at 2:6. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And I'll tell you what, that is the highest place of authority in the universe. Okay, so a few weeks ago, we were talking about healing. Well, I guess we've been talking about it quite a bit, I felt like we should go back to that part about discerning the body. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11, 27, I believe. You know, okay. So one of the greatest causes of premature death, and we'll see it right here, is that we don't discern the body of Christ. So, what do you got up there? Okay, so whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup, we're talking about communion here, the Lord's Supper, in a way that is unworthy of him will be guilty of profaning and sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man thoroughly examine himself, and only when he has done so should he eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discriminating and recognizing with due appreciation that it is Christ's body, eats and drinks a sentence, a verdict of judgment upon himself. That careless and unworthy participation is the reason many of you are weak and sickly, and quite enough of you have fallen into the sleep of death. And that means died prematurely. For if we searchingly examined ourselves, detecting our shortcomings and recognizing our own condition, we would not be judged and penalty decreed by divine judgment. But when we fall short and are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined and chastened, so that we may not finally be condemned to eternal punishment along with the world. Okay, so what does discerning the body mean? We're talking about communion here and the Lord's Supper, and it has two primary elements, the body and the blood. And now, but also we need to recognize, okay, two ways, the body of Christ. We have to discern the body of Christ and what he did for us. What he did for us on the cross, because it just seems like, you know, he redeemed us from poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. But it seems like so many Christians are in poverty and so many Christians are sick. And see, did he do it for nothing? He did so much on the cross and it suffered so much, and he did that for our healing. But then we also need to recognize the body of Christ, that we are all one. The universal church is really one, that we're all parts. We're the hands, the feet, the arms, the legs, the knees, the toes, the fingers of the body of Christ. and that we need to live in unity and forgive each other, and, you know, anytime before you receive communion. See, it's through the blood of Christ, though, that we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. So that body, every part of Christ's being, though, was sacrificed, and every part of every part of our being, spirit, soul, mind, will, and emotions, and body, could experience freedom. Okay, so we're supposed to experience that freedom. Okay, we're going to achieve that, aren't we? See, he suffered spirit, soul, and body so we could be free spirit, soul, and body. So part of our redemption was the sacrifice of his body for our body, right? 1 Peter 2:24, himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness. If you're dead to sin, you're living righteous, by whose stripes we were healed. Okay. So sickness, and this is a quote, I'm not sure who, if it was John G. Lake or it was Smith Wigglesworth. Sickness is the foul offspring of its father, Satan, and its mother, is Smith, and its mother, sin. So discerning the body, that includes recognizing what Christ provided for us in his own body in redemption. See, and a lot of Christians live their whole life ignorant of the fact that God bore our sicknesses and diseases when he bore our sins. I'll tell you what, if you talk to people, sometimes they don't even know that because they received Jesus that he's living inside of them.
That's true. Lots of
people. Now, I was in a denominational church for 40 years.
Yeah.
And finally got born again. But that was the one thing. They never told us we had to receive Jesus. Okay. So, see, a lack of knowledge opens the door to the enemy. And people fail to discern, to distinguish. That means to discern. Discern means to distinguish, to recognize. What Christ accomplished for us in our physical body. So, according to scriptures, now, did we read 29 and 30? Yes. But when we fall short, we are judged by the Lord and disciplined. So then, so that we may not finally be condemned to eternal punishment with the world. Yeah, it is. So if you don't know something, especially that Jesus took our sicknesses and he carried our pain, Isaiah 53:4, will never receive the benefit and the wounds by which he healed us. Folks, this is something. Fight the good fight of faith. When things happen, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We can say those words, but when the rubber meets the road, then will you have to seek first the kingdom of God? Or do you call the doctor or run to the doctor? You know what? Seek first the kingdom. What does the kingdom of God said? You know what? It actually says in Colossians, when we got born again, we were translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear son. I mean, one time, I remember when I was first a baby Christian, that was in 1980 or something, and I wanted to go to Burley's church in Wichita for a conference. And I had a really bad cold. And I went, God, I want to go. But I had a fever and everything. And, you know, all of a sudden, I thought about that verse. I knew it by heart in Colossians. And it says, and it was like, I've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear son. Now, wait a minute. The kingdom of God's dear son is the kingdom of heaven. If I'm living, then how can there be any sickness up in heaven? I'm walking in that kingdom. I'm a citizen of heaven, and we are ambassadors here on earth. So, you know what? And just like that, it was the next day. The next morning I woke up, and I was healed. See, you know, get in the scriptures. Speak the scriptures. Okay. Now, that second aspect of discerning the body, you've got to understand, all of us who are saved, we are members of the universal church, Christ's body, the church. And we're the body of Christ. We got to learn to discern, to recognize his body, the church, and the individual people. And that includes forgiveness, respect, honor, not judging. Okay, so this, I don't know, I gave you this once before, but it's good to review all this, I think. So one of the biggest reasons for sicknesses and weaknesses and premature death, though, is that area. Not realizing what Jesus did for us, not receiving it, not taking it in, not believing it. Or like Gloria Coppola would say, take it. Just take it. You know, for the longest time, I had to go, okay, I take it. But then it didn't work. It was like, I got it now. I got what she means. Just take it. You know what? Take what it says in the scriptures. It's true. It's more true. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but all this word is not. You can, like I always say, you can burn it up. You can burn up all the Bibles in the world, but how can you destroy? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You can't destroy God because the Word of God is God. Amen?
Amen.
So, okay, but recognize your place in the body of Christ and recognize other people's place in the body. And bring your supply to the body of Christ. You don't just get in the body of Christ and do nothing. See, remember, even the church is, this is the year of the church, and we've been teaching on the church in a Bible study. We've been teaching a whole thing about the church and what we are, how we're supposed to treat the church, what we're supposed to do in the church, and we're really all supposed to get involved. Okay, and you know, we are body parts, and I'm not going to go over this in detail, but in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about, you know, we're the eyes, the ears, the blah, blah, blah. What if we were all an eye? Let's go there. We're close there. We look like a monster, huh? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. And let's go on King James. For as the body is one and has many members, here I am, I got a body, I got a lot of members in the body, right? Where was I? Okay. And all the members of that one body being many, we got a lot of members, but we're one body. And so also is the body of Christ, right? For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we're Jew, Gentiles, bond free, we've all made to be drink into one Spirit. Now let's jump down. Okay, well, okay, go to 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You know, I write in my Bible, and I put itch. How could I scratch my, what if I had an itch on my foot? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You see, we look at other people and we think they're not of the body. But we have, they if they're born again, they are of the body. And we need to be in unity with them and love each other and help each other. Really. And correct each other. You know, 3/4 of the time, a preacher is supposed to correct. And 1/4, exhort. So see, anyway, well, you know, even the sower sows the word. Uh-huh. Now, God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? And I put in the grave. And now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye can't say to the hand, well, I don't like you, I don't have any need of you. Or the head to the feet, I don't have any need of you. You know, but do you realize that sometimes that's what we do? Okay, so now that verse 18, God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. He has a place for you and a church for you that you are to be in to grow, and we are to grow together. So what is it? You do the work of the ministry, and we teach you. So, but obviously, your body won't work correctly if the organs are out of the place. And that was, you know, that was, I think, why everything happened that happened in our government, and because the church never took its place. It started to get lackadaisical and lazy. And, you know, yeah, I was just so happy to, and I got spirit filled right off the bat without knowing what it was in the bathtub, as you well know, and I didn't even know what I was doing, but I was speaking in tongues. And so, you know, when you've got that, it seems like when you open the Bible, you have more revelation knowledge. But see, if a believer is out of place in Christ's body, things won't work right for them. So sometimes we want to know, so Jesus healed us. You know, on Sunday we were talking about who we are in Christ. And so, you know, he's healed all of us. He's a healer. And the healer lives inside of you. But then why do things happen? See, we can experience sickness, weakness, and possible death being out of place in Christ's body. And it'll eventually cause things to go awry in your physical body. So, see, there is a flow of life that comes to the physical organs when they're in place. Like when you get older, something can get out of place. Like, you know, I don't know, you can get tumors in an area and it'll push the other things out of place. And that hurts. But see, that is the same thing. When people are out of place or try to take a place where they don't belong. In the same way, each believer has got to remain in his or her God-assigned place in the body of Christ to partake of the divine flow. But see, that also means doing something. Taking your place, doing what God ordained you to do. You are his workmanship, created, and he knew what he wanted you to do from the foundations of the world. See, and that's the whole thing. We don't go according to our talent. And I always use, as you know, Jesse Duplantis, because he was so talented in music and all those other things. But, you know, that wasn't where he was supposed to be. He was also very good at executing and, doing marketing, I think. But where is he now? He's preaching the gospel. Yeah, and he's very prosperous. See, but if you get in that place where God wants you to be, and that's something right now, the plan of God and praying. In fact, Nancy Dufresne was talking about that. I was listening to it about 3 or 4 times. The plan of God for you right now is extremely important. And it doesn't make any difference how old you are. I don't care how old you are. You keep moving on. You keep going, and it's never too late to get into that plan and to fulfill what God had for you. He's going to speed them up. You know, that whole thing Dutch Sheet said about the lioness, the lion, and the back of them was sheep, but they were full of ticks, referring to politics. But then suddenly when the anointing, you know, and the wind blew and the oil, And they came up and they became lionesses, and they began to have babies. But the babies they were having were sheep, but they soon turned into lions. Now, it took me 40 years to get to this point, but it's not going to take other people that long. But see, you're going to start witnessing to people. I ran into somebody in the post office yesterday, and they were talking a mile a minute. And I thought, I think that lady's on meth. But I mean, I wasn't sure about it, or maybe she had a past of it, but she there was something. And she says, you know, I walk, and she was talking to this other lady, and the other lady went up to the guy to buy whatever she was going to buy from at the post office, and then she started talking to me. I wondered if she would. She did. But she started talking to me. She says, well, I don't get it, because I go down this dark street, blah, 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 you know, this street, and I feel this darkness. And then she said, I go down this other street, and it's light. And I said, you know what you need is God. And I did give her, but she has been to our food bank. And I found out. Because when she saw, I gave her a little card, and she has been there. But you know what? This is, that woman needs a demon cast out of her. And we can do it. I mean, that's the Great Commission. To do it. And you know what? We've just got to get real strong about this, all of this, and get finally, look, I'm going to do what God has ordained me to do. Yeah, I mean, you, I'm talking about. Get it. Get it going. See, so that's why you got to be where God placed you, doing what he assigned you to do. And God is a place of spiritual nourishment. He assigns every believer, and that's your local church. And you've got to recognize that place if you're going to partake of the nourishment of that place. Because people say, well, I don't like the way the pastors are. I don't like their personality. It really has nothing to do with personality. It all has to do with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And we're in a Word and a Spirit time. See, the only believer who is out of church... Any believer who is out of church is out of their place in the body. And if you've been placed in a place, you don't leave it because of like strife or something like that. If you really have been placed there. And you can't decide to skip church and just watch live stream either. People got used to that. And you know, we didn't have much of that. We were blessed in Nebraska. We might have had just a few times, like 10 people, but it wasn't very many. But because we were always here and we were always open. I mean, can you imagine not being, oh my God. I mean, this is like, oh, this is the most fun thing in my life. Honest to God, it is. I'm just like, oh God, I couldn't stand it. Anyway, God's doing something though. And you know, we've been praying and praying and praying for years. We've been praying for the government. From the time we started this church, we never, and that's been 28 years ago, we never, ever stopped praying for government or praying, period. So, see, you've got to be in your place, though, and not in someone else's place. And there's a difference between what church you attend and where you belong. And getting mad at the pastor... And leaving doesn't release you from that place. And it doesn't mean you no longer have a church. It just means you've taken yourself out of your assigned place. I tell you, that's when problems in your physical body can result. And I even know, just from growing in myself, some of the things that I did wrong, I don't know if I'm going to get to it, but there's spiritual laws, too, associated with healing. There's spiritual laws, and when you break those spiritual laws, but you've got to know what they are. And we can't just do any old thing, and because we open the door, and that enemy is looking. I mean, he's looking, ready to pounce on you. It says, surely, remain seated. Yeah. Anyway, Kenneth Hagin used to say that. Remain seated at that table. He prepared a table for you. And at that table is healing and finances and everything that you need. Everything that you need. And as soon as you get up, though, the off of that table, that you could be in trouble. See, how do you stay seated? By getting into this word. Every day, I challenge you, honestly, to say who you are in Christ. Out loud. And if you're just going, it doesn't do any good because your spirit has got to say. See, what happens is if you say it out loud, it gets in your spirit. Instead, it can even be head knowledge at first, but that head knowledge will turn into spirit knowledge. And then, you know, Satan can steal that out of your heart. See, we need to grow and to grow up. Seriously. So, one of the things here, do you treat people unfairly in business deals? You can actually die doing that. And it sounds ridiculous, but the natural man and the carnal nature, and the natural man and the carnal nature to the spirit makes no sense. But there are spiritual truths, and they can affect your life. See, pay attention to whom God has placed in your life and give them proper place. In other words, always put God first and don't get distracted. I mean, last year I almost got really distracted with the politics of this thing. But, you have to get back on track in God. And you know what? When you do that, God will give you the full impact of the flow of his life. And you know what? You'll start walking and you go, whoa. And see, I witnessed to somebody at Baker's too the other day at the grocery store. And I was literally praying for her while she was checking me out. Because she was so worried I just love to grab some of those people and get, and teach them how to get over that stuff. You know, I used to be emotional, much more emotional, or you take things, but now you go, no, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and you get into joy, and you kick the devil in the rear end, and that's what you've got to do, and if you're offended, get over it. Pastor Nancy used to say, suck it up. See, but it works. And you're so much happier. See, it's possible to be in your place, but fail to bring your full supply. That's another word. You may be in the right church God assigned you, but fail to fully participate in your church. That's important. Some people don't give or help or respond. See, it's good. You need to respond. That's another thing. The more you respond, the more it goes inside of you. Did you know that? You have got to respond. Respond to the preacher. You also pull out more out of him. And you have to get used to it. It's just like praise and worship, stand there and at home. Just practice, say, God, I magnify you. I adore you. I worship you. I love you. Amen. Say it so you can say it in here as a group. Yeah. Say it. The more you say that, the more it gets in here. I can guarantee you, I'll pay you money if it doesn't work. I'm serious. I'll take you out to lunch. In a nice place. You'd have to go to Omaha and do that. But in all seriousness, the more you get that mouth going and you get, and see, then that negative junk doesn't come out. The devil, he can't stand it. He'll run from you. But see, too much, we're quiet. with our mouth in exalting God. Exalt Him. Tell Him you love Him. It stirs your spirit up. It's like in for 2 Timothy, you know, 1, 6, and 7. Well, 7, you know what 7 is. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. But before that, it says, dear Timothy, stir yourself up and get boiling hot. But you have to stir it, and it's like stirring some food that if you don't stir it, it'll stick to the bottom. And you're sticking to the bottom when you don't stir your spirit up. And the only way you can do that, well, this is all the way, but God must want you to know that. Stir it up by speaking who you are in Christ. You know, get some scriptures inside of you and get that going. All right. So, now, okay, here's an example. Well, I actually put it on here. Okay, but many times difficulty in your life is experienced because of your failure to bring a supply. See, but the comfort of your flesh can ultimately lead to the destruction of your flesh. It can. And you can't stay in a lifeless church and receive the blessings of the church that's full of life. So to receive healing, just basically, you have got to discern the body of Christ. Are you in the right place? Do you receive the pastor's ministry? Do you willingly give of your time and talent and ministry? Do you tithe? Do you give offerings? See, all these are factors in a person's physical health. All of them. They are. You have what your church teaches. See, God didn't allow Christ to suffer the curse of sickness and disease to have you go to a church that says that healing may not be for you. I'm serious. I'm really serious. See, our physical condition is dependent on our spiritual condition. Your physical condition depends on your spiritual condition. You cannot be spiritually bankrupt and enjoy divine health. How do you get? You never get into the Word. See, every day have a time with the Lord. Even if you work or something, even if it's 10 minutes, say who you are in Christ. Have it written down. Who you are in Christ. That's so important. And various scriptures that can help you. See, if I hadn't known that one that I've been translated from the kingdom of darkness in Colossians, but I said, Kenneth Hagin said to say, my daughter went to Rhema, and then I heard him, and I was like a baby Christian. And he says, say Ephesians 1, 16 through 23, and say, Ephesians 3, 14 on, and then say Colossians 1. And I did it. And you get to a point where after so many years, you know it by heart without even memorizing it. But it was in here, not just memorized up here. You see? So see, some of these things are, you know, they're life to you. Okay, now, there's natural laws and there's spiritual laws. And spiritual laws are superior to natural laws. And spiritual laws cannot be changed. Okay? So, and see, even scientific laws can't be changed. And God's the one who did those in the first place. But natural laws can be changed. You can change the speed limit. That's a natural law. Healing has already been purchased, and it's not earned by perfection to rules. I don't want you to think that. So it's not about rules, but about spiritual laws. So we have to cooperate with spiritual laws and not just obey rules. The Pharisees were very legalistic. And they, you know, they wanted to trap Jesus all the time. In fact, they were mean. There was no love there. Religion is mean. And you cannot disobey though or violate spiritual laws and expect good results. Do you know what I'm talking about here? So see, many respond negatively to any talk of conformity to spiritual laws. He said, well, I'm not going to do that. And they label it as legalism and bondage or a religious spirit, but that response can be hypocritical.
That's true.
Okay. So, see, the same individuals, though, conform to natural laws and enjoy benefits. Example, a hairdryer plugged into an outlet. That requires a law, right? It cooperates with the laws of electricity. So is that conformity? No. I mean, that's not necessarily conformity. Or stopping at the traffic lights so you can keep your driving privileges. And do you call that legalism? See, but why? Spiritual laws are above that. Remember, those laws can be changed. Or you pay your phone bill. So you can text, and so you can get phone calls, and so you can do all that other stuff on there, you know. But natural laws help us enjoy things. But in the same way, if we cooperate with spiritual laws, they will help us enjoy a flow of God's power. And remember, we've read it in Ephesians, the power is in you. Resurrection power is in you. Now, I mean, some of these things will happen to you. And that's when you think, okay, I got to apply this. Yeah. See, if you're never a doer of the word, you won't get any place and you won't grow either. So laws obeyed aren't, if you obey the spiritual laws, you know, forgive your neighbor. There's other ones. They actually liberate you. They make you free. And when you learn and understand apply spiritual laws from God, you close the door to sickness. Now, sometimes people are healed in meetings, but then they go back to a dead, dry church. And they didn't understand the spiritual laws, especially the law of faith. And there is a law of faith. It's right in Romans. There's a law of faith. And people make fun of us because, oh, your faith this and faith that. Well, you cannot operate in faith and continue, though, to listen to words of doubt or speak words of negativity yourself. You know, see, that's why I was going back and forth. I was thinking, should I talk about words? Words are really, in fact, we've got a word thing from George Pearson's that I want to pass out. Not tonight, but another time, and it's so good. If you look, words are the most creative things in your life. But I mean, you could literally, bad words, negative words, can make things bad happen in your life. Okay, some spiritual laws. Okay, your mouth. Words. Proverbs 18. 20 and 21. Let's go there out of the Amplified. It says, a man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth. Whatever's coming out of your mouth, your moral self picks up that. Those things get down in there. And with the consequence of his words, he must be satisfied, whether it's good or evil. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And it didn't say death and life are in the power of God, did it? No. Said it's in the power of his thing. It didn't say death and life are in the power of the devil. It said it's in the power of your own tongue. In fact, whichever one you call on, God or the devil, is the one that's going to come close to you. And it says, they who indulge it shall eat the fruit of it for death or for life. Okay, what else? Speaking harshly or judgmentally. See, there's a connection between speaking ill of people and cancer. Their spreading of wrong words about others contributes to the spread of unhealthy cells in your body. Ouchie. Okay, 2 Timothy 2, 16 and 17. 2 Timothy, quick. Actually, all that other was a review from a few weeks ago. But this is 2 Timothy 2, 16 and 17. It says, but avoid all empty, vain, useless, idle means non-working talk, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their teaching will devour it. It will eat its way like cancer or spread like gangrene. So it is with Hymenaeus and Philetus. In the New Living Translation, I wrote it down. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer, as in the case of Hymenaeus and Philetus. So see, there's a connection between your mouth and your health. So be aware, speak in agreement with God's words. No, not, don't think that, don't be so like religious that you think every slip of the tongue is going to bring disease in your life. But see, if you get in the habit of that and you're doing it all the time. There was a time when I was saying, and I was teaching school then, but and I kept saying, oh, I forgot. I was getting older then, and you know what? I heard the Lord say to me one day right there in the classroom, he said, stop it. Stop saying that. I'm in a time when if I keep saying that, that's going to happen. But see, speak well and you'll live well. If you allow your tongue to speak poison year after year, be prepared to reap consequences in your physical body, because you can talk yourself into health or sickness. Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20. Ian, quick, put it up there. Deuteronomy. I call heaven and earth. See, he gave us the choice. I'm in Numbers, no wonder. Deuteronomy. Come on. Okay. I call heaven and earth to witness. Or record, it actually says, this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. You got the choice. Choose life, and your descendants may live. I'm just going to give you an example to show you what the Lord said. Okay. So, Ken and I got a little tiff this one day. Yeah. No, you know, we got a little argument. and what he said offended me. And then all of a sudden that scripture, you know, if you got it in your heart, the Lord's going to bring it up to you. And he says, you're going to choose life or you're going to choose death. You're going to choose blessing, you're going to choose cursing. And this lie went, oh God, I repent. Even though I'm right. No. And so then, yeah, but I mean, it was just like that. I turned it off. And thought, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to church the cursing, and I'm not going to choose death. I choose life. And it says in verse 20, and may love the Lord. Why do you choose that? Choose life or death, blessing or cursing, so that you and your descendants may live instead of living a life of hell all the time. And that you may love the Lord your God, obey his voice, and cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land. You may dwell in that plan. Let's put it that way. The Lord swore to give to you. Amen. So, what else? And I'll pretty quick. Okay. Sin and disobedience. And I'm just going to, Kenneth Hagin started a healing school many years ago, and there were many miracles occurred. But there are some people who do not receive healing in the healing school. Okay, now actually I got this from Keith Moore. When he was ministering to this man in the healing school, when he was there, and he had a lot to do with it. He was there for several years and in that healing school. And this man came in and he was dying. And he says, you know, they load him with the word and they load him, you know, with healing. They flood him with it. So, okay. But nothing was happening. They weren't getting anywhere. And so he started questioning the man. Just start questioning to see if there was something in his life. Well, he really didn't get anywhere again. So, you know, he really cared about this person. And you should care about all these people when you're ministering to them. And so he started speaking in tongues. I mean, he just started on his own at home, you know, saying, God, what is going on? What is going on? And during that speaking with tongues, he kept getting, till death do we part. To death do we part. To death do we part. He kept getting that. And he thought, well, so what he did, he talked to the man. And he didn't know if he was going to answer him or not. And he asked him if there was some kind of marital issue. And he says, yeah, I'm leaving my wife for another woman. And so then he said he could discern why the man failed to receive healing. Because when a Christian chooses, you are a Christian. And when you choose to live contrary to the word of God, there is no method of healing that would be effective. See, people wonder, why am I not healed? I mean, because we push healing like, you know, it's there. See, this man needed to make things right before a healing could occur. And healing, healing is not always spelled H-E-A-L-I-N-G. Sometimes it's spelled obey. Sometimes it's spelled love. Sometimes it's spelled forgiveness, and sometimes it's spelled repent. I'll tell you what, or maybe all of the above, but you know what? In this time, every little thing that you think, man, I repent right away. So ministering healing in that case was like trying to fill a bathtub with water when there was no plug on the drain. Things like disobedience and forgiveness can pull the plug on the power. Well, is every physical ailment tied to a specific sin? No. Don't automatically connect sickness to sin, but do check yourself. Because our spiritual life and our physical life are very much connected. Oh, man, there's so much here. I was actually going to read you something. I had Nancy Dufresne's book on healing, and I had another one of a story about this. Well, boy, that story is so good. I left it in my bag, though. I'm gonna get. Well, I'll get it because I know which one. I got three books in there and some cookies. It's Pastor's Appreciation Month. Okay, so this is, and I'll just kind of, okay, one day many years ago, I met a lady who had three young daughters. Now, this was a pastor who wrote this. And all of them had a dejected look on their faces. They were believers who lived in his neighborhood, and they had even spent time in the mission field. And then he met the woman, she said, well, my husband isn't here. He's in the hospital. And then the pastor said, well, how long has he been there? And she said, 9 months. That's a long time. But he said to her, would you like me to visit him? And she said, yeah, their pastor, she said, didn't seem to relate well to her husband. And the two weren't making much of a connection. Okay, now this part I'm really going to read. When I went to the hospital and saw this man, I was overwhelmed by his appearance. He couldn't have weighed more than 80 pounds, skin and bones. And he was suffering from anorexia. If they released him in that condition, he would starve himself and quickly die. Now, although he could barely speak above a whisper, he told me that every time his pastor came to visit, the pastor told him he had obviously committed a great sin and needed to repent. This man said he couldn't think of anything from which to repent and had grown tired of his pastor's condemning visits. If you can't think of any sin from which to repent, sin is not the issue. So I was led to share with him Mark 11:23. That where Jesus said we can have whatever we say. I encouraged him to say regularly through the day that he had a great appetite. See, you can minister to people and just, I know Keith Moore has done that with a lady who had cancer and she kept throwing up. She couldn't keep any food down. He just said, say, I keep my food down. I will keep my food down. And he kept saying that and she kept her food down. Now, encouraged this guy to say he had a great appetite. The next time I came, he was happy to see me. He said he was somewhat approved and had been faithfully saying what I had told him to say. Every week or so, I would come to see this man and we would speak the word together. We would sit there and confess, I have a great appetite. He said, I think I gained 5 pounds while ministering to him. No. He was now improving daily. I came to see him one day and found him out of bed, walking around, eating a cup of pudding. We rejoiced at his progress. One day I received a phone call from this man, his voice no longer weak and brittle. He said he was soon to be released from the hospital. And he told me that I had been more of a pastor to him than his own pastor and wanted to know if I would counsel he and his wife. They have been apart for almost a year and he was nervous about living with her again and wanted a smooth transition. He also asked if it was okay if they began attending my church. I told him not only was it okay, it was necessary. He needed to continue to hear the word that had raised him from his deathbed. Okay, so he didn't come the 1 week, but he called me the following week to inform me that his wife wouldn't agree to see me and that she refused to set foot in our church. He didn't want it that way, but thought he'd better acquiesce since she, too, had suffered great hardship while he was sick. About a year later, I ran into his wife. He never saw him again. The wife said, did you hear about mentioning her husband's name? No, I replied. I haven't spoken to him in quite some time. She told me his condition relapsed and that he recently died. I feel badly for this man. After all, he was now in heaven, present with Jesus. He said, I didn't feel badly for him. However, I walked away from my conversation with his wife feeling quite angry. I wanted to go back, look her in the eyes, and say, you know, you killed him. I know that sounds horrible, and it would not have been appropriate to say, but it was absolutely the truth. The disease didn't kill him. He didn't starve from a lack of food. She starved him by denying him the spiritual nourishment he needed. And right there, in fact, this is why I chose this, because he said, talks about 1 Corinthians 11, not discerning the body is a primary reason why people are weak and sickly and die early. God had prepared a place in the body for this man and his family, a place of feeding, a place where they could grow and thrive, a place where he could live and not die. But the wife kept him from his place and didn't recognize that place because she didn't want to recognize it. She got what she wanted. She couldn't bear the thought of attending a church like ours. And a lot of people in this town do the same thing because they think we're too, I don't know. What would her friends think? What would her mother say? What would other people say? She got what she wanted, the comfort of the religious system she was used to. In the process, she lost her husband. Yep. And then he says there was another man who came, and his wife didn't attend with him much, but a cancerous tumor fell off of his face one Sunday. And he asked his wife to come there, but she did not want to come there because he thought they were too wild and, you know, too much word. Do you know what I mean? That people think, oh, gosh, where do you want to go back to that traditional? It depends what part of the country you're in. But I don't know what happened to them, but they never came to the church, back to the church. And a lot of this, you see, people get what they want, but they don't realize they're killing themselves in the process. I know what that woman said. I had wrote it down here. She said she couldn't sit under someone who was younger than her. Yeah. See, the place you get healed is likely the place that will keep you healed. Yeah. And it's things we think we have nothing that we, some of the things that we think have nothing to do with healing have a lot to do to determine our healing. Most people wouldn't say, well, it's because you're not properly positioned in the body of Christ, but that is why. As the cause of sickness and disease. But that's it. Discerning that body of Christ. It says it right in 1 Corinthians. You know, but remember, that's the one area the word highlights as the main cause of sickness and disease. So you know what? It's so important to mature spiritually. So you can recognize issues in your own life. And then you'll be in a position to help other people. And I'll tell you what, that plan of God for your life is so important. Disobeying God's plan for your life in any area is a total open door for sickness to enter. Going to the wrong church, doing the wrong plan. And you've got to discern the body is the main cause for sickness. And all of this is scripture. And I have other things that are kind of practical. I mean, like law of rest. You have got to rest. There's a point where you can, I have that tendency to. Yeah. Okay, even John G. Lake in church history. He died of a stroke at a young age. Did you know that? Yeah. And prior to his death, he sought God as to the reason for his illness. And he said, the Lord said to him, you're doing the work of three men. And sometimes God does lead ministers to work hard at times, but only for a season. And you can't violate the law of rest. That's one thing you can't do. Well, you know, there's a harvest to be reaped. But you know what? That's why you need to train up other people. And I even have in here nutrition, but we'll go over that next time. What you eat. And I mean, not you have to be You know, like you're actually. Amen. So we're going to let you go so you can rest. I don't think anybody here has to go to school, do they? No. Not the folks that are here. So, Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. We thank you, Father, that it never, ever, ever returns void, but will accomplish what we please, and it will prosper. It will do way far over and above all that we even ask or think in the thing for which we sent it. We thank you for that, Lord God. I thank you for these precious people, Lord God. I thank you, Father, that what the fruit of the Word of God that has been spoken tonight, the devil, we bind you and say you cannot steal it out of their hearts in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, you are such a good God. And I thank you, Father, that each and every person will have a peaceful rest, Lord God, and that even during the night, their spirits will be worshiping and praising you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.